What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, May 31st, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Reverend Jared Petty.
Doki Doki, Greg.
How are you, Jared Petty?
Stupendous, Greg.
Stupendous.
Stupendous, which is not a word.
No, but you can invent
it. I meant
it.
To say stupendous,
yeah.
And then I
listened. I've been there that a lot, too.
It happens sometimes. But
we,
yeah.
did, if not, knock on wood, tomorrow a party mode will go up. That's IGN Verse, Kinda Funny,
for
a whole bunch of different things. And I called one of them. I went to say championship, but then I wanted to say title at the last second, and so it's like title.
You could just put a beat behind it.
Yeah.
Oh man, I can't wait to watch that. By the way, I've seen you guys editing it all week.
Yeah, it's really rad.
As
long as IGN's fine over there. Zach Ryan's like, I'm too busy to watch this. I assume it's great. I'm like,
Zach Ryan said that.
Yeah, of course.
Too busy to watch.
And I'm sure Nintendo is gonna watch it. Mr. Nintendo on a nickel and dime us because we say penis too much or something. Then I will have to deal with that.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Penis a lot.
We did say penis a lot.
Did you say penis a lot?
We're talking about Nick. No, I'm kidding. We didn't say it at all.
Oh, really?
I don't want to talk about party mode. I want to talk about party mode. Jared.
Yes, sir.
You, of course, are not employed here full time.
I'm not.
You, when you're not here, you're making content for what?
I'm making content for Hop, Blip, and a Jump, Red Dead Radio, Pockets Full of Soup, a little bit of everything.
And it's all available at?
It's all available at hopblipjump.com.
And you just put up a new episode of Hop, Blip, and a Jump.
I did. And in all seriousness, I think it's the best work I've ever done in the industry, this particular episode. Yeah. I don't mean to sound arrogant. And it is ultimately just an internet video with some video game footage and a guy talking and a little music.
Yeah.
But it came together in a way that I'm very proud of. I work hard at what I do and I try to feel pride in it and put effort. But still, you're always your own harshest critic.
Sure, of course.
There are things with this episode I would have done differently looking back. But nonetheless, I think this is just about the best work I've done in video games. It's 8 minutes long. And I think that the topic I chose speaks to just about everybody. I really would encourage everybody watching and listening. This is worth checking out. You can go to youtube.com/hopblipandajump, or you can just go to hopblipjump.com, which is the Patreon, and it's posted on there, or go to my Twitter, or just about anywhere. You'll find links to it. But yeah, it's 8 minutes well spent. And it's the beginning. Hop, Blip, and a Jump is built, and every episode has felt a little closer to where I wanted it to get.
Yeah.
This is the first time I feel like I really kind of captured what I was going for the way I wanted to.
That's awesome, Jared. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Everybody, go over and watch it. Come on now. Support Jared Petty. How many times did I got to say it? He's wearing a cool shirt.
Oh, thank you. You like my shirt?
I do like your shirt.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every day on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show right into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, everything under the video game sun, including those bad PSN names. Then watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, like so many of you are, remember you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe.
Perhaps the universe.
Perhaps the universe. We don't know how where this is getting beamed out to. Housekeeping for you. Like I said, party mode tomorrow. IGN Verse Kinda Funny unless something goes wrong and Nintendo screws it up. E3 is coming up. As you know, remember, we, Kinda Funny, are doing pre, post, and live shows for each and every conference outside of that PC one because we don't care about what's going on with Excel. I'm just kidding. Everybody calm down. It's a joke. You can watch us record those live at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch us do the pre-show for the conference. Watch the conference with us. Then we'll record a post-show. If you can't watch it live with us, no big deal. The reactions to the live shows and the post shows go up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and then just the post shows go up as gamescasts on podcast services around the globe. And then we go to LA on Tuesday. We make content down there. We see a million games. Maybe we stream live from somewhere on Thursday afternoon, but I can't tell you where yet. But wink, wink, maybe you know.
Stream live, you say?
Stream live. Somebody's got the power and the technology there, don't they, Kevin? They can't see you when you shrug. You got to say something.
I know, but I like your reaction.
Ah, Kevin, you always get me. Also exciting news for us in terms of events. It was just announced today. San Diego Comic-Con is happening. That wasn't the announcement. You knew that was happening. But instead, Rocket League is turning 3 in July 19th in San Diego at Petco Park. They're throwing a big old event with live music, meet and greets, Rocket League action, and more. Hosted by me and Kinda Funny. We'll be there. You can come out to Petco Park. Enjoy that. Not you, Kevin. I'm pretty sure it's just me, Tim, and Nick. But their tweet only mentioned me and then and Kinda Funny.
Because like
I'm Garfield and you guys are the and friends. So I'm never sure if it's like, am I getting Odie and Nermal or is it just Odie episode? Is it just John and John's veterinarian girlfriend, you know?
Fun fact, Greg.
Yeah.
Rocket League and my wife have the same birthday.
Oh. Yep. Yep. And we're also brought to you by Omaha Steaks and Brooklinen. But I'll tell you about that later, because we got another meaty, what is and always will be, the Roper Report. Time for some news. 6 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Oh, he's doing an accent over there.
Well, wow. I was trying to match your the way you said news.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I liked it. I just like to see you experiment.
He had some zest.
Everybody knows Kevin is a VO actor. You can play Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2. He is the Tinkerer in there.
I'm so jealous.
Of that?
Oh, yeah. Being a voice actor in a game, that's like a dream come true.
It's just so, it just happens to me all the time.
I know it does.
Lego
yeah.
DC supervillains, no big deal.
Got to use those tentacles of influence. Pull me into one of these at some
point. Okay, maybe, you know. Yeah? Maybe you start playing ball around here.
Wait, what do you want?
I don't know. Number one on the Roper Report, Assassin's Creed. Guess what? There's another one coming. It's been leaked. And Jason Schreier, Kotaku, has the full report, of course, because he's amazing. That's all he does. The next Assassin's Creed is called Odyssey and will take place in ancient Greece, according to a new report from French site Jeux Vidéo Live, which adds that Odyssey is a sequel to last year's Assassin's Creed Origins, period. Kotaku can confirm this report. We've heard the same details from 3 people who have played the game and several more who have heard about it secondhand. While Origins added Witcher-like RPG elements, Odyssey will take things even further, those people said, bringing dialogue options to the series for the first time. You'll be able to play as either a male or female protagonist, although the builds we've heard about did not feature Origins' main characters, Bayek or Aya. I say that right?
I think so.
Andrea's always wanted to correct me. I always wanted to play more of Origins because everybody loved it, but when I played it the first time, I was like, I see what you're doing, and it never got me.
Never ask me for pronunciation help unless it's Japanese. Yeah, Japanese, you know, otherwise I'm useless.
Not them, but New Heroes. 2 of those sources confirmed that Odyssey will be out during Ubisoft's 2019 fiscal year, which ends on March 31st, 2019. Although the previously annualized series had skipped 2016 in the wake of 2014's disappointing Assassin's Creed Unity, it's likely that this one will be out this fall, returning to the yearly schedule for which the popular franchise has long been known. Ubisoft did not immediately respond to a request for comment. We're expecting to see more at E3. A tipster also sent Kotaku their own shots of a keychain, which is arriving at gaming stores across the world today. You can go over to Kotaku, read Jason's articles, I always encourage you to, and you can see the little, it's like, you know, a Spartan helmet on a keychain saying Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
So I don't know if you've heard this, Greg, but yeah. I sometimes get enthusiastic about new video games and announcements. That's something I tend to get a little hyped up. This makes me so very happy. Greek studies.
Thought we were going the opposite. I thought you're swerving me there.
Not at all. The Greek studies were a big part of what I did in college, actually, classical studies, and this period of history in particular. I love the great Hellenistic plays and all the works of that period of time. I love to read Sophocles, and I actually, weirdly, one of my strange skills in life is reading ancient Greek, and this is something I care a lot about. So there's so many beautiful stories that'll be able to be woven into this narrative, and I'm really kind of interested to see if they go with like a full mythological thing, if this goes like weirdly God of War-ish, or as I think is more likely, what they do is take the events that inspired the myths or that the myths draw from and show you a realistic depiction, not unlike something like Michael Crichton's Eaters of the Dead, where we see the origin of what became mystical stories in the actual really compelling history.
Well, that would be an awesome take on it, right? Is that we create this character who's going to be this hero assassin's person, and then the actions you do, you see those three, right? Where you best whoever, that you can see how someone would spin a yarn about how that guy was, who that person was, who that female was.
Exactly. Open with the Trojan War, end with the long voyage home. I mean, Odyssey is a very evocative term. Yeah. That's Homer's great epic play that is the foundation on which a lot of Western novel writing is still built.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that important. And a lot of the way that we understand written language really is tied into the Iliad and the Odyssey. I think that this could be spectacular.
I don't know what it is about this. And I don't think it's full-blown racism, because, of course, neither of these are set here in the United States. But when they were like, Assassin's Creed Egypt, I was like, I didn't have the desire to run around in the sand and climb a pyramid. For some reason, that didn't click with me. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just because I'm not interested in that historical period, right? But I would never say I'm a big ancient Greece fan either, but... This sounds like I'm seeing more architecture I'd be more stoked to run up on. Yeah. Not to mention like what you're talking about, that's an interesting story. But then even I think they're speaking to what I like about games like The Witcher, right? But RPG elements, sure. But then dialogue options. And I like getting into a game and crafting a character that Granted, I'm still just coloring the same coloring book everybody is, but I'm making it my own, right? Yeah. And I'm choosing who this character is, this female protagonist, this male protagonist, how they're actually going to play out and where it goes.
Yeah,
have Caesar involved in there, right? Do we murder Caesar, pin it on Brutus?
Well, it depends on where they...
Thank you, Kevin. There you go. Greg Miller's pick of the week.
It depends on where they set it. I'm guessing they're going to set this earlier than Egypt, in which
we're
case
gonna,
there's no Caesar hanging around.
We're going to make a Caesar baby.
I don't think we're going to see a Caesar. I think we're going to... I really do think Odyssey evokes probably Troy versus Greece in that
Romulus?
Period of time. Okay. So that's my guess. Romulus and Remus coming...
Ramus, dude?
Well, they... Okay, so Romulus and Remus descended from the escapees from Troy.
Troy, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you could do that. You could go Rome in there, or that could be your spinoff, your next game.
Okay.
But yeah, actually, the whole this story, Odyssey, is in mythology. The way that Rome was finally founded comes out of the story.
But isn't it like hundreds of years?
Are you on
your
mic?
Much later.
Just make sure.
Yeah, so you're not going to see the founding of Rome in this game, but in a really kind of weird way, what you got in the Assassin's Creed Egypt game could be a sequel of sorts to the events that happen here.
Well, yeah, apparently they're tied together, right?
Yeah.
Here's the interesting thing I'd like to float, right? I don't think the fact that they call it out, and I'm going to read Jason again here. Two of those sources confirm that Odyssey will be out during Ubisoft's 2019 fiscal year, which ends March 31st, 2019. I'm saying they don't go. I don't think they go toe to toe with Red Dead and every other big AAA game this fall. I think they punt this to that incredibly enticing January, February period we talk about every year.
Yeah, why not? I think it's a better move.
I think Origins was well received, critically acclaimed. I don't have sales numbers off my head, but I do think it was underplayed. I think for taking a year off, coming back, it wasn't the return to form and the return to Assassin's Creed being a moment, right? Mm-hmm. Assassin's Creed used to be a moment.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you went and put it at the beginning of the year, as we've always said, even though it's getting more and more crowded, you put it there where people are like, man, 2018 was a great year for games, but we're in 2019. I want something new.
Yep.
And you're like, hey, we have this new Assassin's Creed game that's out there doing this thing in Greece.
Yeah, I don't have access to any internal numbers or any of the market research they've done, but I would not at all be surprised to see this a spring 2019 game.
Jeremiah Jux writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, looks like Assassin's Creed is going to Greece. Do you guys think that the AC franchise is going down the same path before the change with Origins? I'm assuming a 2019 release. That's right, Jux, you on my side. But are 2-year cycles really enough to keep players from burning out on their games as they did before?
I think 2 years is good. Yeah, for this kind of series, where you keep changing setting the way they do and keep changing theme. Yes, as long as the games stay interesting and fun and creative. I mean, Assassin's Creed didn't just burn us out on quantity. It also burned us out on, frankly, a drop in quality.
Yeah, totally.
At least that was my perception.
Mine too.
And
I don't even think that's a perception. I mean, I like Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
I tinkered with one, fell in love with two, did Brotherhood, and then went on. And like three, though, I jumped into, and I'm like, this just isn't. And then it was that thing of like, it was just down the cliff where I was like, not.
Except for Black Flag, which was awesome.
Black Flag was amazing. Black Flag was amazing. And I know that Unity was good, Unity was not good. Rogue was good, but it was put on the PS3, 360. Nobody played it. It's been ported ever since. I know. The British one, Oi Governor, that was supposed to be good. But even then, jumping into it, I was like, this doesn't feel... And they just stopped then. They were like, all right, well, you know, hard reset.
Yeah, I think it was the narrative just kind of fell apart there. No, I think 2 years works fine for this.
Of course, now they're fudging the numbers here. If me and Jeremiah are right, and this is a 2019 game, all right, technically on paper, that's 2 years. That's really a year, right?
Yeah.
Since they did it. What's more interesting about it is, Jeremiah Jux, here's what I want you to think. You know, do you guys think Assassin's Creed is going down the same path before the change with Origins? Assuming this is 2019, there are 2 year cycles for them. I think this, let's erase everything that came before Assassin's Creed Origins.
Mm-hmm.
I think Assassin's Creed Origins came out, was well received. People were like, they made cool changes here, cool setting. I like Bayek. I like this. Andrea always talks about it. She loved it. I think that it came out in a crowded time and not enough people played it, or not as many people played it as Ubisoft would want them to play it. And I would say think more of Odyssey as a 2. Because we always talk about it. Games with 2 on the title sell better than than a game with a subtitle.
Yeah.
Imagine this game coming out now and, hey, guess what? Everything people loved about Origins is here, but it's happening now in January, February, and you have a desire to play something new, and it's there. I think this one could be the one that everybody jumps on, myself included, jumps in there, is excited about it, enjoys, and people who played Origins are like, well, yeah, Origins was great, and this has something different than Origins and this, that, and the other, but it's still just the
sort
same
of an Assassin's Creed 2 situation, where that was good, but now we've got the... Yeah, okay, I get that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, kind of funny, Kevin. Kevin from the Kind of Funny Press Pool.
Any chance you go back to Origins again?
No.
No.
No. Mm. That's the thing. Even with Andrea saying how awesome it is, I popped it back in after that and played it more, and I get it. I get why people like it. It's just like, this isn't the open world I want to be in for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't think it's because I'm a full-blown racist.
I think it might be.
It might. I mean, I don't think so.
I'm looking into it. Minority Report, I guess.
Yeah, what is the Minority Report, Kevin? What does that say?
It's not looking good.
But I mean, what if I go play the Greece game? The Greeks. You know what I mean?
We'll see.
Okay. All right. We'll have to see. Well, racism report is out. We'll get back to you on that one. Number two, Jared Petty.
Yes, sir.
This one right up your alley.
A little bit up my alley.
It is a long one because there's finally details on this fucking thing.
Uh-oh.
And I'll talk about it. Don't even get me started on the Intellivision yesterday.
Oh, not touching that.
Good, thank you. Number two, though, you remember that Atari new game console that they announced with no real details, but it was available yesterday for pre-order? It went up, and Charlie Hall at Polygon has this to say, a whole bunch of it, so please go click on his article to give him the thing. I still paraphrase, and there's still tons in here. Pre-orders for a new Atari game console eclipsed $2 million in the first day and crashed Indiegogo for a short time. Called the Atari VCS, the new console is available in three bundles. Each console comes with more than 100 Atari games called the Atari Vault and will include titles such as Asteroids, Breakout, Centipede, Gravatar, Missile Command, and Yar's Revenge. A similar collection of games sells on Steam for $9.99. This sells for a lot more than $9.99, all these bundles, but I digress. You can get those numbers over there. The VCS touts an open Linux architecture, meaning that you can theoretically load up your own software or even your own operating system and go your own way. Add that to all the trappings of a modern PC, 2.4/5 gigahertz Wi-Fi, Bluetooth 5.0, an Ethernet jack, and plenty of USB 3.0 ports that accept modern peripherals like headphones, keyboards, and mice, and the VCS sounds like a tinkerer's delight. But Atari's goal here isn't to make a bigger, more expensive Raspberry Pi. It's to earn its place on the shelf below television sets around the world as the centerpiece of your home media system. The device is billed as a, quote, retro-inspired, completely modern video computer system, which puts it against the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and to some extent, Apple TV. However, the VCS's final design specifications have yet to be locked in. Even the user interface is only a mock-up and subject to change. Whether or not it will live up to the hype is anyone's guess. The bottom line, Charlie says, is that the console is still in the developmental stage. They have yet to be manufactured, so there's nothing to test. There's also no inventory, but that hasn't stopped the French-owned media company from enticing potential customers with lines such as, "Hurry while supplies last," on its pre-order page. There's also no mention of these being sold in limited quantities, only that the pre-orders are available for a limited time. There's also a conspicuous asterisk, one that has yet to be questioned by backers on the Indiegogo page. It calls out an Atari subscription service that will be, quote, required for advanced services in cloud storage. We've reached out to Atari for more information on what that means. The campaign for the Atari VCS runs through June. Delivery for all products is estimated for July 2019.
Now there's a mouthful.
Jeez Louise. You thought it couldn't be more complicated than them announcing this thing with no information. Then they give you all this information. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, I mean, how much information? I don't think there's actually that much concrete information here. Effectively, what I see is a narrative of, we have a cool industrial design for this thing. We have a few hardware specifications. And once we have enough money, we'll figure out what it actually does.
Exactly. This thing is going to be, I'm calling this a disaster. This is going to be a disaster.
A disaster for consumers,
yes,
or a disaster for
this
Atari?
This is going to limp on forever. We're going to talk about it. They set this deadline, and guess what? They're bumping it, or they won't talk to you anymore. Like, they're not even. They're, like, it sounds fishy already. The, like, limited quantities thing, like this. They're saying that everything can move around. I don't trust this thing as far as I can throw Kevin Coelho, and I am a weak little man.
What I'm guessing we end up seeing here, assuming that they're able to manage their funding, if they can work within the budget that they're going to get through this Indiegogo project, if they have that kind of expectation, then what we're probably going to get is a set-top box with some sort of customized Linux operating system on it, a simple download service, and the ability to fool with it. They use the Pi comparison, the ability to go in and customize it, do your own thing, hack your own ROMs in, play emulated games from retro consoles, or even some not quite so retro consoles, perhaps. I've had a PC hooked up to my living room television for a very long time. Actually, just unhooked it because I needed to use it for editing for a while. But for years, I've done that. And it is really cool having a PC in your living room that's properly configured and customized for that. If you're just using a standard PC interface, it could be a little awkward. But if you set it up right, it's really cool. And you can do a lot of neat stuff with it that's not easy to do with a console. I suspect they'll optimize for that kind of approach and then let people in third parties or tinkerers or hobbyists go further with that. I don't know if it's going to be a disaster, but I do think it's going to be a fairly limited market of people that mostly just want to buy a low-cost PC that they can play some games on and maybe fiddle around with and make some neat video streaming things happen in their home.
I want to throw out, too, I was trying to trim this article, and I feel like leaving out the prices was a stupid move, but I trimmed it anyway because I'm an idiot. Right now, the packages are ranging from $199 package to a $299 package, just to give you a heads up on how much you're currently paying for this thing that, again, those games, a similar collection, $10 on Steam.
But again, you're not buying the games, you're buying the box.
And sure, with it, but it's the joystick controller and everything.
Oh, I know, there's some weird stuff there. But if you compare this to what you'd spend for a low-power, like, stick PC, yes, it's still a little higher, but at that point, somebody's going to say, well, maybe that cool box on top is worth it, and the fact that it does have controllers and is game-optimized. I didn't pre-order one, and you know me.
It smacks of Ouya and all this stuff of, like, in the Intellivision announcement yesterday, which was so similar to the Atari announcement of, like, we're doing this thing. No details. Talk to you in October. What the fuck is happening?
I'm old enough that Atari still means video games to me.
Sure.
If I ever did get a tattoo, it would probably be an Atari logo. I really
Atari's got a cool logo.
Yeah.
Cool lineage. And be clear, I'm not saying I hope these people fail. No. I'm just saying, man, there's a lot of red flags in the giant thing I just read.
No, I agree with a lot of that, Greg. My take on this really is that I'm not sure who this is for.
Yes.
At this price.
Apparently, though, $2 million worth of people.
Again, if it comes out and it's ultimately just a set-top game and hobbyist PC box, at that price point, I'm like, okay, they'll sell some. Yeah. But I don't see a lot of coherence. Don't pre-order this. Wait. Let them fund it and build it. And then if it's cool, buy it.
Retro-inspired, completely modern video computer system.
Yeah, it's just ghosting.
What a bunch of word soup you're just throwing at us.
But again, think about pre-orders. I mean, I know we're being hard on this, but really when we pre-order a lot of things, you know, somebody announces the title of a game, we run out and pre-order
it. Great point. I mean, like, yeah, yesterday, like, I know there was a little bit of a brouhaha that you could pre-order Fallout 76. And everybody's like, what the fuck's the game? Mm-hmm. You know it's Fallout. You were going
to
pre-order
it. The difference, of course, being that Bethesda has, to some degree, really worked hard to earn our trust by producing other quality products over the year. Whereupon Atari is not a name that's necessarily associated at this point with sterling quality.
Atari had all the goodwill in the video game universe behind it when it picked up a little title known as Ghostbusters, the video game.
Yeah.
And then when they just didn't do anything with it after the fact, it all went away.
Well, Activision did Ghostbusters, didn't they?
No, they originally did. Well, remember, it was Sierra doing it. Activision bought them. Okay. Activision dropped Ghostbusters because, quote unquote, it was one of the games that wasn't annualizable. Okay. And Atari said, you know what? We'll pick it up.
So does Atari own the rights to Ghostbusters at this point?
Or they own the rights to that one game. I don't know. Okay, yeah. Right. Ghostbusters has got to be, the rights have got to just be, that must have just been a licensing deal for that one game because you figure there's the PSVR Ghostbuster Firehouse stuff.
Yeah. C64 Ghostbusters, Master System Ghostbusters, those are the ways
to go. That's Activision. Yeah, those are the ways to go. Yeah,
and those ones are fun. Don't play the NES one. It's terrible.
No, well, I mean, you play the Master System one. The Master System one's the best one.
Well, the C64 one is pretty much the Master System one.
It's Master System was the definitive one, though. Everybody agrees on that.
It's really good, but you do get that Sid soundtrack on the...
Everyone agrees Master System was better.
The Master System one is really good.
Buyer beware on the Atari thing. I don't trust him. It's just your friendly neighborhood Greg Miller saying, be careful on that one, everybody. Go be happy. If it makes you happy, go ahead.
Yeah, be cautious. There's no... We don't know what
estimated
this is.
For July 2019, Kevin. Here's what I want you to do, Kevin. Open up the Google Calendar for Kind of Funny and put on July 1st, 2019, in our calendar, Atari VCS supposed to be here that day.
Okay.
Just July 1st, 2019. You can say that month.
July 1st, 2019. Got it.
Maybe do August 1st, I guess, then, because that'll be the thing. If it's not there by then, guess what? Greg was right. Write all this in there.
I'm putting July 1st, 2019.
Okay. That'll be our Atari VCS watch.
You think they'll send us one?
No. I don't know if they're going to send any of you anything. We'll see. I don't know.
I think this thing will get released.
How many times do we have to hit the hot stove on these Kickstarter, Indiegogo's, everything campaigns before we're like, you know what? I keep getting burned and I keep doing this.
The reason I think this
Where is my Chris Hansen photo?
It's a PC in a box. They can make that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a PC in a box.
Sure. We'll see, everybody. We'll see. Number three. Insomniac's teasing a new Oculus VR game. This is from Game Informer's Derek Swinhart. In a new developer spotlight, Insomniac has teased a new exploration-based VR game on Oculus. The studio hints at a solution to the issue of movement in an open-world environment. Eschewing, right? That's how I say it? The typical?
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Eschewing?
Yeah. Eschewing?
Again, you're asking me to pronounce words that aren't
Japanese.
Kevin,
you're smart about that. Am I saying that right? Eschewing? I know what it means.
Yeah, eschewing.
You don't seem confident. The typical short-range teleportation system that many VR games currently use. The game sounds like it could be a mix of the ambition of No Man's Sky and the quality of world design that Insomniac is known for. Hopefully, we will see a handcrafted open world or galaxy that will allow players to explore and discover and run into the fun and vibrant characters that the studio does so well.
I actually have a little bit of inside information on this. This is actually The Adventures of Shirtless Spider-Man VR.
It should be.
Yeah.
A lot of things happening.
And traversal system is not teleportation, it's web slinging.
I'll tell you right now, we're getting closer and closer to Spider-Man's release date. And from what I hear, because I only take photos of him. Shirtless Spider-Man's phone has not rung. And I'm just saying, like, there will be a lawsuit if there's a shirtless Spider-Man skin in there for my client, Shirtless Spider-Man.
But won't there also be a lawsuit if there's not a shirtless Spider-Man skin in there?
Isn't that what I said?
I think
Did
so.
Did I say I would sue if there wasn't there?
I think both. Right?
Basically, anything that happens, there's going to be a lawsuit.
That's my thought.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We like Insomniac here a lot, and I like to see they're still supporting VR, so go get them. However, where is... I had it. The game I like with Meryl. I have the Funko Pop. I was in the submarine. What
Metal
the fuck?
Gear.
No. Well, that okay. You know what? I can't argue. That wasn't bad.
Deep of the Sea.
Song of the Deep. Where is my Song of the Deep sequel? I love that game. Everybody should play Song of the Deep. What?
Song of the Deep is cool.
Was it a ridiculous oversight that it didn't have a platinum? Yes, it was. I don't know what the fuck you're thinking, Insomniac. Number four.
I didn't care.
You cared. All right. In your heart of hearts, you cared.
What about the platinum?
And they lost sales because of it. I'm guarantee it. James Stevenson. Put out Song of the Deep Ultimate Cut with a platinum trophy.
They might have sold as many as 10 more copies.
It would have worked, all right. Number four. This is an interesting one from IGN. Tom Marks reports Bethesda is switching devs on a project. The Elder Scrolls Legends will be swapping development teams entirely, according to a statement to IGN from Bethesda. The original developer, Direwolf Digital, will be transitioned off of the project and replaced by Drop Zone developer Sparky Pants Studios. Bethesda is, of course, still publishing the game, as well as assisting directly with the transition. Bethesda's Pete Hines tells me they've essentially already been developing this new version of Legends for months under Bethesda's guidance and direction. Hines says he sees the decision to switch teams as, quote, an opportunity to alter the direction of the game and what it could be in the future rather than a comment on its current quality, saying, quote, Legends is a very strong game with a lot of untapped potential.
Mm-hmm. That's a PR sentence.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm sure it's very much the quality and all these different things, but I thought it was just more interesting how rarely you hear about something like that. Oh, wow, you guys have been working on this game? Cool, we're going to go in a different direction. This mm-hmm. already announced game that you've already put work into, we're bringing this completely different studio to take it.
Sometimes it happens.
Yeah.
Pete's saying exactly the kind of thing he needs to be saying to us right now.
Yeah.
We're never, or not for many years, probably going to know what happened inside.
I bet we never hear anything about it.
Yeah, and that'll be that. But Bethesda, I'm happy. I always think things like this are a good sign.
Of course.
Because that means somebody didn't just release a game that wasn't ready to be released so that they could... pad their bottom line quickly.
We're taking this product seriously. We're taking this franchise seriously. We're taking your money seriously as a gamer.
Delays and cancellations are occasionally good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're always heartbreaking, right? But yeah, it's always for the best.
Yeah.
Here's number five for you. You might say, Greg, this I don't think you're going to have much to say about this one, but I think it's more interesting about the Switch, big companies like EA dealing with it, and so on. FIFA on Switch this year is still not using the Frostbite engine. This is Max Kerr over at Dream Team FC. And here, I'm gonna butcher it, and I'm so sorry. Andre will say Lazarescu supervising producer for FIFA World Cup Mode, told Dream Team that FIFA 19 will arrive on Nintendo's console with vastly improved graphics, despite once again not running on Frostbite. However, he did not close the door on using that technology in the future. Quote, I'm not closing the door on the possibility, he said. However, we didn't want to create a dumbed down version of the Frostbite engine. As per last year, FIFA 19 will instead run on a custom engine built for specifically Nintendo's hardware, but gamers can still expect a noticeable boost. Quote, the intent was never to have a one-off custom engine that we're never going to touch again, he said. It was to have that as a baseline and then build from there.
Greg, I got to leave this one to you.
Totally, yeah. You're a former employee of EA, so yeah, I appreciate that. No I appreciate problem. Your full disclosure and your stepping aside for it. Again, I don't think there's much context to add to it. I just think it's interesting that, as I always used to say, when Madden came to Vita, right? And it was like, oh, wow, oh, God, this is all last year's stuff. Oh, it doesn't have any of this stuff. And then they were just, like, done with it, where they were like, well, Madden didn't sell on Vita, so we're never going to do it again. And it's like, well, you didn't do it right. You didn't do this thing. You didn't do blah, blah, blah. It's interesting that FIFA came out last year to, you know, okay, this isn't the FIFA people wanted, but they're still there, still working on it. And I think that speaks to the success they probably saw with the sales and hopefully with the success they see with the Nintendo Switch numbers. I might have said Vita twice in there, but you know what I'm saying. It's interesting there's still a future for FIFA on the Switch. Shouldn't be that unexpected with a runaway success, but EA's putting in the resources. Number six. This is a super short one. Avalanche Studios has been acquired. This is from Shabana Arif over at IGN. Avalanche Studios, the developers behind Rage 2 and the Just Cause series, has been acquired by Nordisk Film, but will continue to operate as normal.
I know nothing about Nordisk Film.
There, I don't even think it's worth going into, as that's the only sentence I put down there. I just like to give a tip of the hat that we all know Avalanche and their games, and obviously Rage 2 is being worked on right now. Mm-hmm. And if Walmart Canada has anything to say about it, there's another Just Cause coming. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was an interesting one to tip out there. It's interesting they're saying nothing's going to happen, but yeah, somebody owns Avalanche now. All right.
Okay, cool. Great. Good to know.
I wonder, Jared, if we'll ever see any ripples from this. You know what I mean? If they have them working on some different project, if they don't want to work on other things, if they start playing hardball with Bethesda. But those ripples, it's going to take years to see.
Yeah.
I wanted to know what came to the mom and grop shops today, Jared Petty, where would I go?
Greg, I go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, strap in. If I don't say a platform, it means it's on Switch. It's Thursday. ACA, Neo Geo, Ninja Combat, Defoliation, Downward Spiral, Horror Station. That's on PC.
Wait, Defoliation sounds dirty.
It does, yeah. I'll defoliate you. Dragon Lapis, Gikido Kintaro's Revenge on PlayStation 4, Icy, Johnny Turbo's Arcade, Joe and Matt Caveman Ninja.
Oh, there we go, Johnny Turbo.
Just Shapes and Beats, Lost Sea, Masked Forces, this is on Wii U, Mille Noir on PS4, Xbox One, and PC, Personality and Psychology Premium. Kevin, I'm going to need you to give me a Google search and get me the trophies for Personality and Psychology Premium on PlayStation 4, please.
I like the idea that there's a free version and a premium version, maybe.
Pirate Pop Plus on Switch. No, these are all Switch now. Quad Fighter K, Smoke and Sacrifice, and Songbringer. Oh my God, there's more. I forgot. I thought we were moving on already. Songbringer comes to Switch today. And here's one, ladies and gentlemen, that is a first ever for, I believe, Kind of Funny and for Beyond or any other shows. Uh-oh. Songbringer comes to Switch today. Today, Tom wrote in. Tom says, not a question, but I'm hoping to get a shout out on the show for the release of Songbringer on Switch today. We, at Double 11, the publisher, and Wizard Fu, the solo developer, have worked incredibly hard to bring Songbringer to the Switch. The Switch release features all the improvements made since its release on other platforms last September and the free DLC story mission, The Trial of Ren. Parentheses. Please note the DLC is a separate download. We genuinely feel that this is the definitive version of Songbringer. Songbringer is inspired by the original Zelda on the NES in the sense that it does very little hand-holding and is packed full of secrets. Here it comes. Kind of Funny exclusive scoop. Everybody tweet at Andrew Goldfarb so he knows to write this up and credit us. It also features a fun Easter egg exclusive to Switch that we've not told anyone about yet. If you enter certain words on the World Seed entry screen, you will unlock special character outfits based on a popular video game series. We're not going to tell you what those words are. All we will say is, .. quote, it's a secret to everyone, end quote, .. I've attached two US Switch codes, one for you and one for Jared, because I think you'll really enjoy it. And one to do with whatever you want. Oh, no, I see what he did. I've attached two US Switch codes. One for you, Jared.
Oh.
Because I really think you'll enjoy it and want to do whatever you wish. Give it to a fellow best friend or that poor abused chicken. All the love, Tom from Double 11, and there are the codes.
Thank you, Tom from Double 11. This sounds right up my alley, and I'm going to go home and play this.
You can take that second code and give it away to somebody on the comments of Hop, Loop, and a Jump.
Oh, I'll do that. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you, Greg. Yeah, we'll give that away.
I didn't get the reference. What is it? It's a secret to everyone.
It's a secret to everyone. It's from The Legend of Zelda. There is a guy you come across, and he's one of the old men. It's like, it's a secret to everyone when you find a treasure in the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, then. I guess you get some Link costumes, probably. Start entering.
Actually, wait,
is it
an old man? It might be one of the Gorons, actually. Anyway, it's a dude.
Gorons are awesome. All right, back to
Goron.
It, everybody.
It's not a Goron. It's a Moblin. It's a Moblin.
It's a Moblin? Okay.
Okay, you know what? This
Fuck
is not important.
Fuck me running. Jesus Christ.
What's that? What's wrong?
There's a lot more Switch still to come.
What's very exciting?
West of Loathing is out on Switch today. I have been playing this one. It's the stick figure RPG that's really, really funny. It's beautiful because it's black and white.
I've heard it's great. Super,
it's you should play it, obviously, for Red Dead Radio because it's a Western.
I
really enjoy it. I'm going to keep playing it. You should all too. The Queen and the Crone arrive in Total War Warhammer 2 today. Then if I don't say Switch, these are all Switch except for the variant. Ig and Mattis 2, The Mists of Ravenwood. Fox and Forests, Lost Sea, Shift Quantum, Silver Star Chess. You might say, Greg, I've heard you talk about Shift Quantum and I think Fox and Forests before. Yeah, I read those earlier, but Nintendo made a point of putting it out on their thing today. But I'm just reading what they give me, guys. Silver Star Chess, Super Sport Matchin. Tracks, Build It, Race It, World Soccer Pinball, Yesterday Origins. Now here we go. Mass Forces is on Wii U. Bloodstained Curse of the Moon is on Nintendo 3DS, and then Dragon Lapis is on 3DS as well.
Two quick ones here, Greg, before we move on. First, I talked recently to the Johnny Turbo on Twitter.
Yeah.
And neat guy, interesting, doing some interesting stuff, but I haven't played Joe and Mac yet, but the emulation he's done on the other old Data East games he's brought back, really neat. So you might want to check that out, because he's doing some cool work over there. And also, if you haven't played Bloodstained, play Bloodstained. It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, you played it further?
Yep.
Yeah, I've only played that first night on Switch.
It's really good.
All right, great. Kevin has answered my cries and put up the trophies for Personality and Psychology Premium. I regret to be the one to break this to you, everybody. There is no platinum. Boo! And the thing is, a lot of people have all... I saw the trophies popping all over there. Would have been easy to... You know what I mean? James Stevenson give you that advice, too. New dates for you. Wash this out of my mouth. Omega Strike is coming June 12th and 13th to PlayStation 4 North America and PlayStation 4 Europe, and then June 15th for Xbox One. Worldwide VR Football Tournament launches June 7th. Elite Dangerous Beyond Chapter 2 is coming to PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One on June 28th. Hero Hero from R-Tax Games is coming worldwide to the Nintendo Switch on June 7th. IGN reports, and this is actually our friend Lucy over there, Arena of Valor is going to have a two-week-long closed beta on Nintendo Switch. The beta will only be available in North America and Europe, and fans can enter for the chance to win the code by completing a survey over on their website. So if you're Arena of Valor fan, head over there.
That's an interesting fit for Switch.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Heroes Oath updated. No, the Heroes Oath update is releasing for Terra PC June 7th. Mushroom Wars 2 is coming out on Switch July 5th. And then Xbox backwards compatibility is adding Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, Midnight Club Los Angeles, and Rockstar Games Presents Table Tennis, all available next Thursday, June 4th.
7th. Of those, that third one
table tennis
makes me so excited.
Everybody loves table tennis.
Yep.
Yeah.
I still have my disc of... Do you know they ported that to the Wii?
I do remember that.
Yeah, I have Wii table tennis somewhere.
How great was it too for the Wii that somebody made a beer pong game? Remember that?
I don't think
they
didn't call
it. They called it like party pong, but it was beer pong.
No, I
like
never totally. Played that. I don't think.
Oh man, it was great.
Yeah,
I mean, I love Wii. A lot of garbage on Wii, but that was a great idea.
There was a lot of garbage, but there was a lot of great stuff too.
Boom blocks.
It was
give
so
me some more boom blocks.
Oh,
everybody.
A huge list of great software. It was so cheap to develop for
that
people made a lot of crap for it, but they could also experiment and make some really neat stuff.
Yeah. Time to experiment with you in reader mail, but first I'll tell you it's brought to you by our sponsors Omaha Steaks and Brooklinen. OmahaSteaks.com is amazing. I'm saying it. Guess what's happening, everybody? Father's Day is right around the corner, and I know what you're saying. I'll worry about it later. Plenty of time still to not worry about Father's Day. I'll take care of it later on. And here's what I'm going to tell you. You're going to screw it up and forget, and whatever thing you're planning, you're not going to do. So you need to take the Omaha Steaks deal that I'm about to give you.
Yep.
Of course, we love Omaha Steaks. They send us over Omaha Steaks. We grill them out on Monday, Memorial Day, here at Kinda Funny. They were delicious. I'm the only one in the room who ate them because everybody wasn't here. But
your father wants to consume the flesh of delicious beasts this holiday. And
it just does. And it can be anybody. You can be yourself. You can just lie about sending it to your father, and you get the deal.
Yeah.
You're going to get Omaha Steaks to deliver hand-trimmed, flash-frozen, and vacuum-sealed meats directly to your door. And right now, for a limited time, they're giving... And I saw on the subreddit, people are asking, how limited is the time? I've reached out to find out for you. But there's a deal here that'll get you 78% off this amazing deal. If you go to omahasteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, and this is what you get. The Father's Day package includes two tender filet mignons, two beefy top sirloins, four chicken fried steaks, two boneless pork chops, four all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, four jumbo Franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha Steak seasoning package, and four more burgers ready to grill.
You know, for someone on a ketogenic diet,
this is right up your alley.
This looks right. This looks right. Tasty.
Well, Jared, you can get this limited time package for just $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com and type KF Games in the search bar and add Father's Day package to your cart. Don't wait. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, grab your dad, and fire up the grill.
Now, Greg, what if I wanted to sit in a bed in perfect comfort while eating my delicious meat?
I'm glad you brought that up. Let me tell you about Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen.com, cut out the middleman to make sheets affordable for you. I sleep in these sheets. Portillo sleeps in these sheets. Jen sleeps in these sheets. We enjoy them quite a bit. And here's what I'm going to tell you about this, too. As I've said on the show before, you need new sheets. You probably think you don't. Here's what I'm going to say. I've had mine for a while, but I'm just cycling the same set in and out. I need new sheets. I need to order more Brooklinen sheets here because it's good. And guess what? Portillo, he's going to leave crumbs and crap on the sheets and stuff. He's gross.
Now, Greg, I know I ask you this every time, but what comes between you and your Brooklinen?
Nothing. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets. I want to start with Daniel B, who wrote in with more information. He claims, I can't verify everything here, but he wrote about the Xbox ambassador stuff from yesterday where we were talking about the news. You saw this, the layoff of the team, they're using the ambassador, so on and so forth. Daniel B says, I'm an Xbox ambassador, and the majority of questions I deal with are simple problem-solving questions that can be answered with a very simple search of Xbox support pages. Most ambassadors can usually answer 90% of the questions without even looking up the answer. Microsoft has gone the extra mile to provide quick links, shortcuts, and easy guides via a site only ambassadors can access. If an ambassador is unable to answer a question, we can outsource to other ambassadors for help. The only time when we are truly unable to help a customer is with a support issue would require us to access a customer's personal details and or account. Obviously, due to privacy issues and being volunteers, we do not have this access and would refer them to the correct procedure. It makes business sense that Microsoft would cut the support team, parentheses, though it is sad that people lost their jobs, when the majority of questions coming through can be answered by a volunteer from the community. Sorry for the long reply. Love you all, Daniel B. No, Daniel B, no. That wasn't a long reply at all. We understood that yesterday. It was an interesting wrinkle of how it is, but especially with what you're saying, 90% of these questions that you, in your estimation, are simple as, how do you do this? Every time I go on Twitter, I'm like, fuck guys, I can't make this work. What do I do? I'm realizing that I could have just Googled that, but I also want to bitch a bit.
I get that to a point, I think Daniel B. raises a lot of really important issues here, and I'm glad he reached out. I'm not necessarily sure I agree with the statement that it makes business sense for Microsoft to call the support team despite the help of volunteers.
Isn't that just dollars and cents, right? If you're going to cut out the people you're paying, but you can still have the support and volunteers do it.
Until you look at public perception of how well you're actually supporting your property and whether or not you have people dedicated to it.
Sure.
What he says
there's
about
still
referring
people
to the direction procedures, there are some people there, but I'm tend to be a fan of massive platforms giving you personal access. I think about some of the stories that I hear, for example, about people endeavoring to contact Google or
sure.
Or, yeah, things.
God, YouTube.
Yeah.
When there's like a problem with YouTube, like trying to get an actual talk to someone at YouTube or Google, if you don't know somebody, you're fucked.
And that's why, while I understand some of the reasoning behind this for Microsoft, it's difficult for me to believe that this is actually a long-term good move for customers.
And that I can understand.
And I care more about it being a good move for customers than a good move for Microsoft. Microsoft is not a shoestring operation. They have the money to pay staff to do this.
Very fair. Very fair.
So... yeah, I actually, I do not want to undermine the incredible support that people like Daniel give.
Sure.
That is not my wish at all.
But as a customer, as someone you work, you want there to be a person on the other end that can answer your question, lickety-split.
And, directly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. I really believe in excellent customer service whenever possible.
Yeah.
And particularly when an organization has near infinite resources.
Yeah.
And Microsoft does.
Very fair. Spider-J! Writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hi guys. Yesterday you were talking about how Pokemon Let's Go would bring Pokemon Go players to buy a Switch. Not to be a Debbie Downer, but is that realistic? I just can't see many people who had slash have a free experience, parentheses, who will continue to get an updated app they enjoy, to purchase a $250 console plus game price for essentially an add-on to what they already know. The turnover can be low, but do you see it being potentially too low?"
That's an interesting thought. Well, what do you think, Greg?
No. I think, yeah, don't get me wrong, not every one of the Pokemon Go players you've ever heard of are going to do this, but I think that a lot of the Pokemon Go players are huge Pokemon fans who this was, oh man, this is an in-between for it, and are probably, and I'm not saying the majority of them, but a lot of them are waiting for Nintendo to put out a Pokemon game to do this. I think the added benefit of, like, cool, it is Pokemon Yellow for all intents and purposes, and it, if you've been playing Pokemon Go and you have all this stuff, you carry those characters over here and use it. I think that's a huge selling point, because I think a lot of these people are just on that tipping point, right? Of, I want it, but they don't have a Pokemon yet.
This, I think, is another case of kind of Wii audience approach. Back when Wii just blew up, it became a cultural explosion. People that hadn't owned consoles in years suddenly went out and bought Wii because it was accessible, new, and novel. Likewise, Pokemon Go reached out to a group of people that grew up on Pokemon or remembered Pokemon and hadn't owned consoles in a long time.
Yeah.
But they had their phones, they had the platform, and it got them back in. A lot of those people are going to go, huh, Switch isn't all that expensive, and it's pretty neat. And I remember I like Pokemon. Effectively, Pokemon Go serving in addition to being a huge cash cow, also is kind of a gateway drug for, 100%. Hey, let's get people back into that Switch. So no, I think there is some merit to that.
And that's why it even makes more sense, I feel, than, hey, let's piggyback off the success of Pokemon Go with a true Gen 8 Pokemon. You know what I mean? Of like, that has no integration and it is its own thing. I think this is a great stepping stone of like, cool, you like that, you'll like this. Plus it has the battles and it has the you know, storyline.
Nintendo was very straightforward when they came out and started releasing mobile games, that they were going to use them to try to drive people to their hardware. And we all, I think, kind of looked at that with some skepticism because a lot of companies at that period of time were taking the opposite approach. I understand it's a Niantic game, et cetera, but the relationship's still there. And I think that Nintendo's actually showing how they plan on doing that now.
It's going to be interesting. Going to be very interesting. Kevin, you were big on Pokemon Go for a while there. Are you going to play the Switch version? Yeah. Let's go, Pikachu, and let's go, Eevee.
Sorry, it was muted. No, I think I am.
Okay, great.
I mean, yeah, that's it. I mean, I haven't done too much research in it, but when it comes around, I'm excited to try it. Is it going to be amazing? Who knows? We'll see.
How long did you play Pokemon Go for?
I mean, I want to say we played it for like a month.
Okay.
But yeah.
That's fair. I'm going to jump to Thanos, the Mad Shiten, who wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hello, Kinda Funny Games Daily hosts. My question is for Jared.
Uh-oh.
I've been meaning to ask this for a while, but with the Fallout news, now seems like the perfect time." He says, angry Greg voice. "Jared, I am not satisfied." End voice. "Your Fallout Vault IGN podcast was the reason I got into podcasts, which led me to finding Greg. You never finished it. What were your impressions on the final DLC, Nuka World and Vault Tech Workshop? I hope that one day you'll get the gang back together for a final episode. Thanks, dudes."
Oh my gosh. Vault. Yeah, Vault was a lot of fun. That was a little show we did at IGN for a while that was just about Fallout. And I have no idea what plans are around that, as that's IGN's property.
Oh, sure.
But I would absolutely love to do it again. I really enjoyed being a part of Vault, and it was an exciting opportunity. And as for my thoughts on those final Thanks. I just wrote an article for IGN nice. About the top 10s. Yeah, every now and then I moonlight for IGN. Sure. And I just wrote a thing about the top 10 side quests of all time.
Ooh.
One of those 10 is from Nuka World.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I really loved Nuka World because it was this ridiculously beautiful parody of Disneyland. It's laid out like Disneyland.
Yeah.
It feels somebody loved Disneyland and made that
awesome.
That thing. And it's all this parody of like Coca-Cola culture and Disney culture kind of woven together, all these great inside jokes. And you know, spoilers ahead, there's if you do everything and find all the hidden Mickeys and everything yeah, yeah. that's there, you do descend into a vault underneath underneath Disneyland where Walt Disney's frozen head that's is awesome. Waiting for you, still alive.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
I really love Nuka World. So that's my thought.
You make me want to go back and play it. Yeah, I got this thing. Remember, today we're recording the annual E3 predictions episode of the Gamescast. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames for a buck watch live as we record it, or catch it on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames tomorrow, or catch it for free on Monday. I don't want to go too long here. I'm trying to think of which one. I'm going to read Rob. I'm going to throw you on this one because I don't have an answer.
All right? Throw me.
Rob Michael wrote in and said, "Dear Kind of Funny Family, my dream was to one day make my own video game, but I don't know anything about game development. Would anyone out there have any suggestions as to where I can start? Books or websites? Thank you for your help. If any of y'all want to reach out to me, you can contact me on Twitter, in duo Rob."
I've made a few small games, and I know a little bit about this.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them were done for fun or for contests for IGN. Two were text adventures. Another one was a sort of a choose your own adventure. Three great places to start. First, look at a program called Twine. T-W-I-N-E, which is a very simple kind of choose your own adventure thing with a scripting infrastructure underneath. There's a community around that and forums that you can go to that'll teach you very quickly how to link different instances together. And while the games you can make there are fairly simple, just images and sounds and text, it'll teach you a lot about the principles of game design that'll go into more involved action-oriented
sure.
projects. Second,
walk before you can run.
Exactly. Second, Inform, which is designed specifically for making old Infocom style text adventures.
Okay.
Again, a little more involved language, plain language programming, great tutorials on their wikis and forums, and all kinds of answers for just about every question you can ever imagine, all kinds of stuff for how to integrate new features and do advanced stuff. You can really create some amazing stuff in Inform. Inform 7 is the one that I've worked with the most.
Okay.
Great place to learn. Third, of course, there's the Game Maker community. Now, Game Maker is a little more of a financial investment at this point, but it's also extremely powerful. There are forums out there everywhere that you can go to and look for good advice on this. And I don't want to present myself some kind of game creation expert at all.
Hey, he's just looking for a starting point. These
exactly.
are great resources.
Something I fall out with. These are, yeah, go to look at the Game Maker forums. It's going to run you a little bit of money, but you could just start fooling around with the demo version of it and get the feel. If you don't want to dive into those, another couple of good places to look are, frankly, RPG Maker will teach you a lot about making a video game.
Okay.
RPG Maker sometimes gets maligned because of it, but actually it's a really great program, and it's got a lot of free resources out there that people just created for it. And as long as you're not trying to make something commercial, you really can just borrow from people's stuff and learn a lot about making good games that'll serve you later in that. Finally, look inside video games for ways to do this. Think about things like Little Big Planet 3, for example.
Wait for Dreams.
Yeah, exactly. Or look at GTA's content creator.
Mm.
Go in there and just try to make a good level, a good instance in GTA
sure.
5, and study that. Those are all places to fool around. And by the way, when I mentioned Game Maker, I realized that I want to make commercial games get made in Game Maker. Undertale was made in Game Maker.
Nice.
It's really powerful. The first version of Spelunky was made
in
Game Maker.
Yeah,
it's really, really capable.
Well,
but it's also a little higher curve. So start small, build up. I still fool around with this. I'm going to publish a video game before I die or die first.
You'll die trying.
Yeah,
otherwise.
Die trying. Yeah. So I got one I'm fooling with actually right now. So
okay. Wow. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, go get them, Rob, and then write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD when you release your first game, just like Justin did. Justin wanted to let us know that his little studio, game studio, Yeti CGI, has released Snow Throw VR on Oculus Go. So you can go check out a best friend's game over there if you want to.
That's really cool.
Now it's time to squad up, though. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, why you need help in a video game. I read here, the best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games and has a good time together. However, Today's is much different. Over on the PlayStation blog this morning, they announced that, yes, the PlayStation E3 experience is back around the country. You can go, in a world, I believe. You can go to theaters, very specific theaters, and watch the E3 press conference for Sony live at E3. And John Mark wrote in about it. John Mark, if you want to contact him, is Moonshine1433 on Twitter. Moonshine1433 on Twitter says, "Hi, Kind of Funny Games Daily crew. This one's a little different. I am looking for Kind of Funny best friends in the Oklahoma City area who are going to the theater screening of PlayStation's E3. Contact me on Twitter at Moonshine1433 if that's you, or if you're a best friend in general, I'd love to connect more. Thank you. Everyone, hit up Moonshine1433 if you're going or want to go to the Oklahoma City PlayStation E3 experience."
I have to ask, how did you know what OK? He only wrote OKC. How did you know OKC?
I'm from the Midwest.
Oklahoma City.
I'm from the Midwest.
That's it. Okay, yeah, there we go.
Worth pointing out, too, that today in the... I think I missed this original one. Today in the blog, they put out the fan reactions. They put a video from the fan reactions of last year's theater for E3. I don't know when that got published on YouTube, but it was old. Shout out to everybody wearing Kind of Funny shit in that video. So many Kind of Funny shirts and hats in there. If you're going to any of these, please wear Kind of Funny things. If you ever go to a PAX, a RTX, an E3 or whatever, something we're not at, your local Comic-Con, wear Kind of Funny stuff and tweet it at us and show it to us. We love to see you guys representing Kind of Funny at the cool nerd stuff that we all love so much. Thank you guys for being such great best friends. Jared, you said today you had a rotating segment for me. What did you bring me?
Okay, I brought you a weird one, Greg. I want to talk about a story that's actually a couple of weeks old and fortunately has reached a pretty good resolution.
Okay.
But that's the kind of thing that I want to highlight. And I'm doing this because I was challenged a few weeks ago by a Kind of Funny listener to say, hey, you know, y'all talk a lot about this and that, but you also ought to dig into those parts of the industry that maybe don't get highlighted necessarily and talk about the accountability of the business end of what goes
sure.
on. And that led me to really want to talk about this. Most of this is from Destructoid. I'm just going to read for a second here, and then we'll discuss. This story, again, a little bit older. Over the last few days, and this was a couple of weeks ago, so now the last few weeks, developers and publishers of Isha Games, Aragif titles, and other adult visual novels have been hit by takedown notices from Valve. From out of the blue, certain games are now in violation of Steam's rules and guidelines for appropriate content on the platform. Valve has threatened to remove these games unless they're heavily censored, though that's baffling as most of the games are already censored. Crazier still, the publishing developers in question have already worked with Valve to make sure these games don't violate any of Steam's content rules. So these issues shouldn't even be happening. Mm-hmm, again, this according to the Destructoid article. While it could be possibly explained these titles are relatively new and haven't had a once-over from Valve, the most famous title being targeted is Honey Pop. For those unaware, Honey Pop launched on Steam in January 2015 and has been allowed on the platform unchallenged for almost 3 years. Why Valve would suddenly want one of the most popular games on its service gone is puzzling, but Honey Pop isn't the only game in the crosshair. Kindred Spirits on the Roof, published by Manga Gamer, is also under fire, as is Mutiny by Loopysoft. Manga Gamer issued a PR statement that contained a bunch of information on what Valve had told them. They specifically stated, quote, "It is dangerous for every small indie development team when a major entity can just cut off the revenue stream they rely on like this. If this is more than just a major short-sighted error on Valve's end, it could be disastrous for visual novels and the advancement of expression within gaming made in recent years," end quote. All right, so that's the first part of this. A few weeks ago, folks that had these games on Valve for a long time suddenly got alerts, hey, change it or we're taking it down.
And what did Valve change the rules that they had previously been fine
There with? Had been rules that it was all okay before. These folks came out and said, look, we ran this stuff by Valve. They were fine on it.
Yeah.
They signed off on it. This was okay. And then suddenly it wasn't. And these folks that had games out, they're like, nope, that's not going to be here anymore. That's the first part of it.
Okay.
Now, second part. Honey Pop's developer recently posted a tweet where they received word from Valve apologizing for the confusion, telling them to disregard email about Honey Pop's violations. The game's currently under re-review. Valve will follow up in short order. The good news doesn't end there, as Loopysoft and Manga Gamer have also received similar emails with apologies from Valve. Here's the tweet. "I just received word from Valve apologizing for the confusion, saying to disregard the previous email about the violation, that they are in the process of re-reviewing the game, and I'll follow up soon." That's the second part. There's one more to this.
Okay.
Part three. Last week, several developers of visual novels with varying degrees of sexual content received emails from Valve saying their games were in danger of being removed at the end of the month. Among these games, Kindred Spirits, published by Manga Gamer, which was the first uncensored visual novel to be released on Steam. Although Valve had reached out to these developers to say their games were no longer in danger, Manga Gamer says it's now seeking new retailers to sell its games. Hmm. Quote, "This opportunity couldn't have come at a better time," John Pickett, PR director for Manga Gamer, in a press release. "We'd been speaking with GOG prior to recent events about adding visual novels as a genre to their retail platform. With Valve now threatening the livelihoods of visual novel developers everywhere, it's a huge relief to see GOG opening their doors to these games." That quote, by the way, in that part of the article, again, from Polygon, that third part.
Okay.
All right. All that said, Greg.
Yeah.
The situation, very simply, people had their stuff out.
Yeah.
It was approved. It was up for a long time. Valve came out without warning, said, take it down by the end of the month. Change it by the end of the month. Not take down, change by the end of the month or it's gone.
Yeah.
Developers went, we have no recourse. This was okay. Now it's not. What the heck? This is our livelihood. Valve came back to their credit and said, no, disregard that. We're changing that. Sorry about that. But then some devs said, we don't feel safe here anymore. Yes, we're still going to keep our stuff up, obviously, in the world's largest marketplace, but we're also looking. I don't particularly care about visual novels from an entertainment standpoint. These are games that are designed to titillate and tell stories and show naked people. And
yeah, they are.
I've played plenty of them on the Sega Saturn in my day and all the rest, but they're not really a part of my gaming world
now.
And
it's more just interesting from a business perspective.
It's interesting from a business perspective. And these are these people's livelihoods.
Sure.
They're making games that they were told were okay. And I think that even if something isn't our cup of tea, I really do think we have to be very careful about retroactive censorship.
Mm-hmm.
Valve didn't want something on their platform before. I understand that. But this is somebody's life. This is how these people make their living.
Sure.
They've come to understand this marketplace is a safe place.
Yeah.
And when that goes away quickly, it's kind of like, oh, say, being people who make a show that depends on YouTube.
Yeah.
And what if one day somebody just changed the rules and said, sorry, every time you ever said, fuck, well, you can't be on YouTube anymore. We're taking down all your old episodes.
I mean, you don't even have to reach for a hypothetical, right? Well, I mean, like, yeah, there's the adpocalypse at YouTube. But for me, it smacks even more of the Patreon change. When so many people were on Patreon and we were all doing, and we still are doing great, but I mean, there were so many people there making a living who had quit their jobs and they were able to do this, and then Patreon made it real simple, right? Like, cool, heads up, we're just changing how transaction fees are done.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, the content creator you are supporting ate the transaction fee, so you gave them a buck, and I'm not getting the real math here. They only got 75 cents, 80 cents of it or whatever. We took the other 20 cents because of, and we didn't take it. Well, we took part of it and then we put the rest of it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Now, basically, you're going to cover that person. So like a dollar pledge went to being like $1.25 or $1.50 pledge. And it was anarchy because so many people are nice enough to give people on Patreon their money.
Mm-hmm.
But this small change that sounds like nothing is a huge deal to the person who is giving a dollar but giving a dollar to three people. And so now they have to pare it down, not do this, figure it out that way. And like you saw people, not only creators like ourselves be like, oh my God, please don't do this. We mm-hmm. don't mind eating the feed. I don't want to pass this cost on to the consumer. You saw the consumers go, I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm leaving Patreon. And tons of people left Patreons and pulled pledges. And when Patreon backed down a little, like less than a week later, when they backed mm-hmm. down, they were like, sorry, this is stupid. We should have talked to people. We didn't talk to people, blah, blah, blah. The damage was done. And yes, we lost people. We lost money because of that. But we're lucky enough that we have such a great support system. We've been on the platform for a while and have such a great audience. It wasn't a death blow to us,
mm-hmm.
but the person who was in the middle of the country and they were making $800, $500 to do cosplay when their audience left and they went down to a thing where they couldn't make rent anymore with their Patreon money, you saw drastic problems there. It was the creators who were smaller that had a way bigger problem, right?
And yeah, and to their credit, Patreon was very personally receptive to me in that
sure.
period of time. Very kind, to us very too. Helpful.
Like when,
yeah.
when I tweeted about it and I was like, we don't want this. This is, you know, mm-hmm. this is going to hurt. They were very great about, hey, here's a personal response. We'd love to talk to you, Jack Conti, and all these different people
yeah.
coming out.
Yeah, we had.
But again, it was that damage is done kind of thing.
And that's the difficulty of, and they have gone back on that. And
yep.
now we're
it never
making
happened.
Our living
it
that
never
way.
Happened. Yeah,
but,
yeah. But I saw
that's
people
the
like
difficulty
Danny O'Dwyer,
of depending
right?
on platforms.
Exactly. And having a third party involved. That's the problem.
And where it comes to video games, where, I mean, Steam is close to monopolistic in
for
its
PC
control
gaming?
Of PC
yeah.
gaming.
Yeah.
GOG is a challenger, and it's also, we need to be careful. Good on Steam on walking this back.
Yep.
I'm very happy about that.
I would imagine if I'm there, it comes from a good place of, hey, we want to rein in sexual content. We want to change what's this, that, the other. We want to change a policy. And they're like, cool, we changed the policy, not thinking about how it's going to domino out effect and affect games that aren't violating it, like,
and
really hardcore.
That's my problem, is how does that get... it's hard for me to imagine a process where that change happened and nobody in that room said, oh, by the way, we're going to destroy some people's livelihoods here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
my trouble with it. And yep. The whole point of this, let's remember to hold our platform creators accountable. Sure. Things like this. If we want, you know, even if it's not our kind of game, and I feel bad for being so late on this, frankly.
Sure.
I should have been jumping in the middle of it.
I didn't see it anywhere. I didn't see it getting reported on or kicked around.
But yeah, I think it's worth talking about. And the crisis has passed in this particular instance. But keep your eyes open. The people that create the things you love, very often the niche properties are the things you love. They need your support in this kind of thing.
We ask you, people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, to write into kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching and listening later. Let's see how we did today. Not too many. All right, here we go.
All right. How right
now,
were we?
You let me know how you feel about this. Oh, I've seen a few people in here. A lot, actually. Pretty much this is the main thing we were wrong about. A spoiler for Assassin's Creed Origins. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to spoil something apparently towards the end of Assassin's Creed Origins.
Okay.
All right, everybody. I'm not going to... A million people wrote in, so you don't, not everybody gets credit. I guess the first person who wrote in was TL Josh.
All right.
TL Josh writes in, says, spoilers for Assassin's Creed Origins. Aya, Bayek's wife, kills Caesar in a playable section of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about Caesar being in the Greece Odyssey here. Not going to happen. He's dead.
Right.
He's dead.
But yeah, the Odyssey happens well before this. So he hasn't... He actually been born.
Right. Okay, let's... Okay. To walk back very clearly what they're talking about is, I was like, maybe in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, or what's it called? Is it not Odyssey? Am I fucking...
It's Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Maybe in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, we'll kill Caesar. And they're writing to say, Caesar's already dead.
Mm-hmm.
You can't kill him. We killed him in the last game.
Well, there are lots of Caesars. So that's one thing that you got to...
You know who they're fucking talking about,
no, no,
Jared.
No, because there's...
It's little Caesar
No,
all right? Because
there's more than one big Caesar. I mean, there's Caesar Augustus, there's Julius Caesar, there's a lot of Caesars. What's that?
A2 Brute.
Yeah, but Augustus is really probably the most important Caesar. Yeah, so I mean, Julius is the one
I'm
talking
about. Julius Caesar, of course.
There's a lot of Caesars out there.
I don't know.
Marcus Aurelius Caesar.
No one's spelling it out. They're just like, hey, we killed Caesar.
You know,
we killed Caesar.
You know
Tsar
from Russia?
The Tsar? Yeah,
that's just
the Tsar.
That's just the Russian word for Caesar.
No, you're making that up. Yeah. You can't just have all this stuff.
No, I'm not making that up.
Oh, no. Oh, okay, no, it's Julius Caesar you do kill.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just one Caesar. He was
succeeded
by
there,
Octavian,
right?
Caesar, Augustus.
God, I remember when Little Caesars was good pizza.
I like Little Caesars. You got two pizzas for $8.88. $8.88.
Yeah.
I don't know what's pizza. I don't remember pizza. Yeah, I did have that weird pizza jerky this morning. It was good, but had brown sugar in it. I probably shouldn't eat anymore. It's pretty good. I had a little bite of it. It was tasty. Yeah, it was quite good. Best friend sent that in. Yeah, pizza jerky, man. What marvelous times we live in.
Lucar Wolf wants to keep us honest here, and I'll take it.
What's
a clarification regarding GTA San Andreas being added to the Xbox One backwards compatibility. It's the 360 port that has fewer songs, not the original Xbox version.
Cool. Oh, okay. San Andreas.
Party Man says, just a little update on the Pokemon Go Let's Go Online. You can play online. It's just online battles and trading, but no ranked battles.
Oh.
Also, it will not require the Nintendo Switch subscription.
Okay. I know nothing of Pokemon.
Charles J. says, as a Dane, I've got a little note on Nordisk Film. They own the exclusive rights to distribution of PlayStation products in the Nordic countries.
Oh.
Back in 2016, they opened a games division to fund developers in the Nordic countries so they can create globally known IPs. Cool. Avalanche is the fourth and most well-known studio they've acquired.
Is he a melancholy Dane?
Well, it doesn't seem like it. Additionally, Nordisk Film subtly mentioned Avalanche have, quote, many new exciting projects in the works.
That was Shakespeare humor, by the way.
Oh, I apologize. I'm not gonna be able to pick up on that. You know that. Yeah. Lord of Potent. Lord of Potent's talking about downloads. I'm not gonna go into it.
I love this part. I like one of my favorite parts of working at Kind of Funny is the You're Wrong mumble.
You're
Wrong mumble is
Kebabs
great.
Kebabs is trying to make a point that, like, not all visual novels are about sex. No shit.
He's correct. Not all
God
visual
damn,
novels
you know
are
I mean?
About sex. Yeah. A lot of them are not. Some of them are about murder clubs.
All right. And then, yeah. Ron says Czar did develop from the word Caesar. Clearly, I was joking around everybody. But he also says the same for Kaiser, my favorite kind of role. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Or listen on podcast services around the globe. Remember, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames keeps the mics on. So maybe if you did run away when they threatened to change how they charged and never did, come on back. Maybe you've never done it before. Come on over and support us. Get some cool stuff. Like party modes early. Not the one that's going live tomorrow if Nintendo says it's okay. But you know what I mean. Andrea's on tomorrow. Jared's got a great episode of Hop, Blip, and a Jump. Go check it out.
Thanks. I really appreciate that.
And until next time, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.